Thank you and be seated, please. I'm John Byers. Let me add my word of welcome to worship this morning at Conyers First, especially if you're a guest in our presence. We want so much to form a connection with you. I am committed that this place be known as a place where we're not judged or evaluated for what we are or even who we are, but for whose we are, because we belong to the one who has promised to break the chains down and shine His amazing light on us. In your worship folder is a white connection card. It'd mean a lot to me if you'd fill out the front side. Hold on to it, and we'll make reference to the back side. Just a few announcements this morning. I host every now and again a Java with John, an opportunity for those who have been visiting in our church for a while, guests in our church, to learn more about the mission and ministry of Conyers First, to be able to ask questions about our great church, about your faith journey, and give me the opportunity to share with you as clearly and concisely as I possibly can what I believe it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. How you can know that you know that you know that you've been saved, that you're born again, that the Spirit of God is living in you. The next Java with John is October the 18th. Information in the worship folder. You can register for that. Debbie Golden, our Director of Evangelism, is right here on my left and would be delighted to talk with you about that. Our children's department is great and growing, and one of the really neat things we do for our community is our fall festival on October the 31st. Last year, more than 1,500 people passed through our campus enjoying trunk or treat and candy and jumpies and all kinds of great stuff, specially tailored for kids. It's going to be a great opportunity to connect with our community, but we need your help not only to come, but we need candy. And Stanley Davidson, our great children's minister, has information in the worship folder about that. We need you to decorate your car and your trunk. And this year, we're going to have a competition. There's nothing like a little competition to really draw out the best from us. And then volunteers to help prepare for the day, the evening, and to take down. Stanley Davidson needs your help. He's awesome. Information to volunteer is in your worship folder. I'm also proud of our growing youth department, and they're getting ready for their fall retreat today. T-O-D-A-Y is the last day to pay for the fall retreat. Right, Kristen? Right. And I'm so grateful for the work of our excellent children's minister. Every Monday at 10:30, members of our prayer team gather in the sanctuary to pray for our country, particularly in this time leading up to an election now just a month away. And if you're available free on Mondays at 10:30, you're invited to come to pray aloud, to pray silently, just to be there. I have been reviewing some of our founding history and watching again the 7-part series based on the life of John Adams, the great patriot, signer of the Declaration of Independence, second president of the United States. And I was fascinated in that excellent movie based on the book by David McCullough, that the first time the Declaration of Independence was read on the steps of Independence Hall in Philadelphia, wasn't Independence Hall then, Philadelphia Assembly, the person who was reading it ended the reading with words that I wish we would adopt again. Long before we said, God bless America, the reader of the Declaration of Independence said, God save our American states. Yes, I pray for God's blessing on our nation, but right now I think we need God's salvation for our nation. Whether you can come at 10:30 on Mondays or not, I'd like to invite you to pray for our country. And in the words of the patriot, God save our American states. There is nothing more American that you could say than God save our American states. So many great things happening in the life of our church right now, and I am proud to support the work of Jesus Christ through Conyers First. I give because God first gave to me, but it's really exciting for me to see how God takes my tithe and uses it to bless other people. In the mail this week, I hope you received a commitment card as we move towards Commitment Sunday, but I'd like to invite Keith Keller to come and have just a word of testimony this morning about giving in the life of this great church. May I have that microphone, please? Welcome, Keith Keller, if you would, please.
Good morning. Kathy and I have been married 31 years, and in that time I've moved her and our family 4 different times. It's always been easier for me because I had a job to go to, people I knew. It was not easy for the family. So the first thing that we do when we move is to find a church and get connected.
Amen.
It's the best thing. It's the best investment we can make. And, you know, in all of our years here, and we've been here since 1994, some really good experiences and some bad experiences where the church reached out to us. You think about the good times. You know, our kids grew up, were part of Dan's plays and Christmas things, the choirs, all of the fun things, the Wednesday night suppers, the things you remember. You also remember the tragedies. Mm-hmm. When we thought our daughter was dying, folks reached out to us, and I believe she's alive today because of that. Several years ago, the week of Thanksgiving, Kathy's father passed away in Mississippi, and my stepfather passed away in Oil City 3 days later. The outreach, the love that you gave us was spectacular. So, you know, you have to think about those sorts of things. Those things don't have a price tag. But you know what? Running this church does. And there are costs involved with everything. And you know, I realize that stewardship is a very, very personal matter. And so I would say to you, for those of you who tithe, thank you very much. Can you do better? For those of you who are working your way up to tithing, thank you very much. Could you do a little bit better? For those of you who have chosen in the past not to sign a commitment card, would you really think about it? Because we need to know how much money we have to run this church. Just as you do in your own home. We have to know what programs we can and can't support. And so, you know, at the church, it's the same thing you do at home. Do we have to eat out a little less often? Maybe we don't need to go to the mall quite as often as we do. And I understand that in your personal life, while some of you have lost jobs, while some of you have reduced hours, the cost of everything has not gone down. Mm-hmm. Food, gasoline, electricity, it's all going up. And I understand that there's a fear of committing to something that you might not be able to live with. And I would suggest to you, please do that. Please give us a pledge to give us an idea of what to do. If something happens and you can't stand up to the commitment, it's okay. A call to Brad Wells solves it all, and it will be handled very confidentially. So I would leave with the thought, when you joined Conyers, and every time we welcome new members and we commit, we take an oath to support the church, we say that we're going to support the church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. So I would ask you to thoughtfully and prayerfully consider what you can do to support the needs of this wonderful church. Thank you.
Keith, thank you very much for your witness. I will not ask you to do what I am unwilling to do myself. And I will be the proudest person in this church to offer my tithe on my commitment card this month on October the 23rd, because I see the good things that happen in the life of this church. I give not because I have to, but because I want to. And there's a great freedom in knowing that the provision of God is with you. So I encourage you to complete your commitment card and bring it later this month. And now I invite our ushers to come forward that today we can honor the Lord with our giving. Over these last few weeks, we have been learning together about the priority of our thought life. The Bible promises that God will guard our heart, but He is expecting us to guard our mind, our thinking process, and how we use this incredible gift of the brain. We're going to end this morning with a very sharp scripture passage from the ever-practical book of St. James, brother of our Lord, who goes farther than anybody else in the Bible, talking about the power of the tongue and how we use our tongue. I hope you brought your Bibles today, and will open with me to James chapter 3 toward the back of your New Testament. Give you just a minute to find it. Maybe you can find the book of Hebrews. Find James right after that. And these words from James chapter 3 really set the stage for what I want to talk with you about today. St. James wrote, "People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue." Somebody ought to say amen to that. No one can tame the tongue. Why? It is, get this, restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. St. James concludes his teaching by saying, "And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right." Is this the word of the Lord? Is this the truth? Then, my friends, I suggest this is the word of the Lord, and together we say, thanks be to God. Say, James is writing to believers. He's not writing to the unsaved pagan world. And he is stressing this incredible paradox that believers wrestle with every day. The capacity of using our tongue to praise God, to witness to the power of Jesus Christ, to speak words of faith, to receive the personal gift of salvation in Jesus, to be able to sing with the angels, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And yet that same tongue has the possibility to damn someone, to be used to cut to the heart and twist the knife. God promises to guard our heart, but He leaves it to believers to guard their tongue, to guard their thought process. Across these weeks, we've looked into Dr. H. Norman Wright's excellent book, The Power, Using Positive Thoughts to Change Your Life. And we've considered why it is that we are bent towards toxic talk, stinking thinking, if you will. Why it is so much easier for us to say a curse word than a praise word. Now, if you don't believe that, go home, get a hammer, and hit your thumb. You will find out how easy it is to speak an ugly word. We've looked into that. We've claimed God's promise from Romans 12 to let God change you, transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. We've claimed God's promise that as a man thinks in his heart, so he becomes. We have heard the word of God that we seek the mind of Christ to be conformed to his image. We seek the Holy Spirit to give us the capacity to see life as the Lord sees life, with possibility and potential. We realize that the process of being transformed into a new person takes time. It's the process we call sanctification, to use Methodist and Wesleyan language, going on to Christian perfection, being made perfect in love for God and for one another, because we have finally become reconciled with ourselves. Our thought process most often reveals our heart. Out of the mouth, the Bible says, comes what we have stored up in the heart. And the fact of the matter is, many of us have stored up painful memories, ghosts of the past. We have become negative people, not just because we're fallen people, but an accumulation of the experiences of the past. And that's why I'm so determined to offer licensed professional counseling in this church, an opportunity to find the healing grace of God over the brokenness of the past. But I do not want to end this series today without a very practical word of instruction. I want to take seriously what God says through King David in the Old Testament book of Psalms. Hope you brought your Bibles today. You're way over in St. James toward the back of the New Testament. But if you'll go to about halfway through your Bible, you'll find the Hebrew hymnal. That's the book of Psalms. And I'd like for you to look up with me hymn number 141. That's right, Psalm 141. It's really conveniently located right after Psalm 140. It's right there. And I want you to hear what God says through King David. Psalm 141, 3. Remember I said that God promises to guard our heart, but He expects us to guard our mind, to guard our mouth. So here's what King David said. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. You and I are not yet fully reconciled to ourselves. We haven't fully come to the place of our painful, broken memories, the ghosts of the past being healed, and we still can slip into toxic talk. But I invite you today, if you're really serious about living into God's Word, to take a pledge with me. And I've thought a lot about this pledge and how in the process of being made whole, in the process of having my thinking being changed by the Spirit of God, I can put a stop to my toxic talk. Here's the pledge that I'd like to suggest to you, the pledge that I'd like for you to join me in this week. And here's the pledge. I will not use my words to harm myself or anybody else. I will not use my words to harm myself or anybody else. When King David says, Lord, put a guard, put a watch over my mouth, that's what I think he means. Making a commitment, regardless of what you still may be feeling inside that is unresolved and painful, make a commitment that you will no longer use your words to harm yourself. I'm no good. I've screwed up. I'll never be forgiven. Nobody's ever going to love me. I'm never going to be able to change. My best days are behind me, not in front of me. All I can hope for is to just somehow scratch out a living and get by. I can't be forgiven, and I'm not going to forgive myself. I will not use my words to harm myself or anybody else. I wonder who this morning would take that pledge with me. You're not fully resolved yet. God's still working in your life. Still working to give you the mind of Christ, as Paul talks about. But you are no longer going to let your words sabotage your relationship with yourself or your relationship with other people. If you'd be willing to take this pledge with me, I'd like for you to repeat it with me. I will not use my words to harm myself or anyone else. I will not use my words to harm myself or anybody else. I will not use my words to harm myself or anybody else. I believe this is what King David must have been thinking about in his own life when he penned the magnificent words of Psalm 19. You're in Psalm 141 now. Would you go back with me just very quickly to Psalm 19? As King David is talking about the power, the transforming power of the Word of God in a person's life, he asks an important diagnostic question about himself, beginning in verse 12. Psalm 19, verse 12, King David asks, who can discern their own errors? That's an important question. Who of us is fully capable of seeing ourselves as others see us? Who is fully capable of knowing the depth of their brokenness? That's why we need each other. Who? Who? King David is asking that question of himself, but he goes on to say to God, forgive my hidden faults. The stuff that is so buried, I can't even identify it, but it's that buried stuff that is coming out of my mouth and forming toxic talk. Forgive me of my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sin. See, this pledge is saying, I will not. I will not use my words anymore to harm myself or anybody else. Keep your servant also from willful sins, that they may not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. Then verse 14, a verse I often pray before I preach. King David prays, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart," that's a poetic way of saying our thought process, "let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart," what? "Be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." As you are in the process of having your thought process changed, as you are in the process of taking control of your thought life, as you are asking God to heal you of your toxic talk, I'd like for you to take this pledge: I will not use my words to harm myself or anyone else. And then pray King David's prayer before you speak to anybody and say anything. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my Redeemer. Hey, I gave you a cheat sheet here so you could memorize that pledge, but I'd really much rather you memorize the Word of God. Could we memorize that one verse, Psalm 19, verse 14, together as a prayer that you could pray to set a guard over your mouth? Try to pray it with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Hey, what's King David saying? I can't do it myself, but the strength of the Lord can enable me to do that. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. I truly pray that you will invite God to allow you to live into the promise of Romans 12:2, and let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And while He is in the process of changing the way you think, you determine in your heart, and we hold each other accountable, "I will not use my word to harm myself or anybody else. And because I know I can't trust myself unaided, I will pray before every conversation, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my strength and my Redeemer." You willing to take the pledge? Amen. We share together in the sacrament of Holy Communion because we need food for the journey. We need the grace of God to fuel our process of transformation. Remember how John Newton put it? That man who made his earning by buying and selling persons of color for profit. He made his living by treating human beings as property and trading them in the streets of England. John Newton finally came to himself and realized he couldn't be changed by himself. Maybe you remember the words he wrote Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved. I love that word, saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now found. Was blind, but now I see. This morning in the sacrament of Holy Communion, the grace that saved John Newton, the grace that has saved billions before us, the grace that has saved me is the grace that can save you from using your words to harm yourself and others. This is the table of the Lord. It is open to all who simply want to experience the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The liturgy that we share together will have proper responses that will be on the screen, so you can be free to participate and share in this great celebration of God's goodness to us. And I'm so pleased that assisting me in serving the sacrament today is our excellent youth minister, Kristen Crawford. I invite you to prepare yourself now to come to the table of the Lord. Because of all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ, I can offer this invitation filled with hope. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him and seek to grow into His likeness. Let us draw near with faith, make our humble confession, and prepare to receive this Holy Communion as we pray together, saying, we do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own goodness, but in your unfailing mercies. We are not worthy that you should receive us, but give your word and we shall be healed through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you now and forever in eternal life. Amen. The elements begin the service covered just like there was a great covering in the temple in Jerusalem between the people of God and the presence of God and the Holy of Holies. But through our honest confession, through the promise of forgiveness through Jesus Christ, nothing any longer stands in the way. If you feel at a distance from the Lord, it's because you choose to feel at a distance from the Lord, because you're using your words to harm yourself. He is here, and He is waiting for you to receive Him. And so with joy I say to you, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, lift up your hearts and give thanks to the Lord our God. Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, you made us in your image to love and to be loved. When we turn away and our love failed, your love remains steadfast. By the suffering, death, and resurrection of your only Son, Jesus Christ, you delivered us from slavery to sin and death and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them to be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. In the breaking of the bread, we come to a graphic reminder of God's commitment to us in Jesus. How God stepped out of the throne room of heaven and became incarnate, became one of us in flesh, to take upon Himself the sin of the world. And so when I break the bread, as I come to this graphic reminder of God's complete commitment to me in Christ, I recall the words of Isaiah the prophet, who foretold the coming work of the suffering servant when he said, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the whipping for our peace was upon him." And don't miss this promise. "And by his stripes, by his wounds, we are healed." As you hear, as you see, as you witness the breaking of the bread, as you remember that Christ's body was broken, may the healing miracle of the cross become very real to you. Hallelujah. St. Paul said, "Christ, our Passover lamb, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast." Hallelujah. I invite you to join me in speaking this ancient hymn of praise. O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, grant us your peace. And it is the peace of God that passes all understanding that is offered at this holy table today to whosoever would come. I invite you to come by the center aisle and approach with the hands of a seeking servant. The hymn writer said it beautifully, "No price in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." As you receive a consecrated unleavened wafer, I invite you ever so gently to dip it into the chalice, allowing these two holy tokens to commingle together, and to believe with me as I believe with everything in me that this is the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation given for you. Hallelujah. Amen. You are invited to come now to the table of the Lord. I invite you to join me in the prayer of thankful dedication as together we say, "Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen." As we conclude our service this morning, I invite you to find the white connection card, and on the back side is an opportunity for you to respond to the Word of God today. Hope you'll underline and memorize the promise of St. Paul. Let God transform you into a new person. How? By changing the way you think. I hope you'll take this pledge with me today to set a seal, to set a guard, to set a watch on your mouth. "I will not use my words to harm myself or anyone else." And pray with me before any conversation you have with yourself or anyone else. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The bottom of the card is an opportunity for you to share your heart with me and how I thank you for the intimacy with which you share your heart with me. And though we are many, it gives me a sense of feeling connected with you. This week I'll have the awesome privilege of praying my Tuesday prayers at Oxford University. I'll be attending a series of World Methodist Council meetings in Britain. And on Tuesday, I'll be kneeling at the rail of Christ College Cathedral, the very place where John and Charles Wesley were ordained as priests in the Church of England. And the first rise of Methodism began as they gathered college students together to live a life worthy of the Lord. As the music plays, I invite you to complete your card, fold it over, if you will, and leave it with an usher as you depart from the worship center. Now, as always, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you, His healing and approving smile, and best yet, give you peace, perfect peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen, and good morning.